We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
USA.
Yo.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
Yes, it's Monday. Back to the work week. How you guys feeling? How was your weekend?
I am blessed, black, and highly favored, man. I feel amazing. Weekend was great. Did nothing, which is my favorite thing to do.
You and me both. I did absolutely nothing. I didn't go anywhere. I just relaxed.
That's it.
You want to watch? I watch Suits. You watch Suits? You in the Suits yet?
Nah.
Suits on Netflix. I believe it was on Hulu at first, and now it's on Netflix. And it's just an amazing show. It's an attorney show based about attorneys. And pretty much based on revenge, but not getting revenge in the way that you would think, but getting revenge in other ways. And I really enjoy it.
Nah, I caught up on a Secret Invasion, which is a Marvel show on Disney Plus starring Samuel L. Jackson. Nah, it's a live action. Saw Samuel L. Jackson. And then on Saturday night, we sat around and listened to old vinyl records.
Okay.
Because I didn't know we had a couple of vinyl players in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some vinyl records that we was listening to. Then we
You call them vinyl players? You don't call them record players?
I don't freaking know. I thought they were vinyl players.
Vinyl players? Jesus Christ. Vinyl players.
So we were listening to that. Then we started listening to the Love Jones soundtrack, which is by far the greatest soundtrack of all time. And that's also my wife's favorite movie. Mm-hmm. So then we started watching Love Jones. Drank a bottle of wine. Fantastic Saturday night.
Okay, you was
my,
in bed.
That's my type of Saturday night.
Sounds like you was in bed by 10.
Well, I was actually in bed by like 9:30, because when you're on the couch, that's the bed.
That's the bed.
I'm trying to figure out, how do you get better sleep unintentionally on the couch than you do in your bed? Because you can go lay in your bed and it'll take a while for you to fall asleep.
True.
You can hit that couch and be done for a couple hours.
Gone.
Okay.
All right.
But I had a fantastic weekend.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. When we come back, we got Teslin Figaro. She'll be joining us for Front Page News. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club on BET. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now let's get in some Front Page News. Teslin Figaro, good morning.
Good morning, DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God. And Red is back in the building.
That's
good morning, Red.
He said good morning. Now let's start off with sports. All LeBron James fans. Now he's changing his jersey back to number 23 in honor of Bill Russell. So he's going back to the number 23.
I didn't even know that he had changed it back to 6. I wasn't paying attention. Because he's always gone between like 23 and 6 throughout his whole career. Yeah. How come they haven't retired 23 all across the NBA? Nobody should be allowed to wear the number 23 because of Michael Jordan.
I agree.
Like, they should retire the number 23 for good.
I agree. Yeah, because they did that in baseball with Jackie Robinson's numbers retired. Yeah, you can't have that number. Now, let's talk about this missing Alabama woman, Carly Russell. She was missing, but she came back home the other night.
Yeah, she was found on foot. Hoover, Alabama police are continuing the investigation into the disappearance of 25-year-old Carly Russell after she was found alive and safe Saturday night. Let's listen to the report by WVTM13, and we will talk about it on the other side.
Carly Russell is alive and well. Hoover police say Russell returned home on foot just before 11 o'clock Saturday night and was taken to UAB to be checked out. Investigators say they've spoken to Russell since her return, but the details of that conversation are part of an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, so keyword, ongoing investigation. Now, her family has not made a statement. Police have not made a statement as of this time, as of this morning. They have asked for privacy, but they've released traffic camera footage, which shows her car pulling off on I-459. But that footage, I want people to pay attention. In the middle of the article, it's very clear. It says that the footage is still being analyzed as a part of the investigation in conjunction with the 911 call. They're trying to figure out the accurate time that footage was taken, and you know, was that during the time that she made the call?
Now, Tez, a lot of people might not know what's going on or what's happening, so can you just tell people what happened and how she became missing, how she got over to that side of the road? Because some people just might have been just hearing this story for the first time.
Absolutely. An Alabama woman, as we mentioned, Carly Russell, she went missing on Saturday because she said that she was driving on the highway and she saw a toddler. And when she saw the toddler, she pulled over. Not Saturday, my apologies. She wasn't missing on Saturday. But when she saw the toddler, she pulled over. When she pulled over, she called her sister. She called 911, and then she also called a family member as well, and saying that, hey, I see this toddler on the side of the road. You know, I'm going to see what's going on. While she was on the phone, her family member said that they heard her scream and then lost contact with her. And so that is when they believe that she was abducted at the time. Mm-hmm. And then obviously a national manhunt went on for her for about 2 days. It was all over social media. The media was also covering it as well. There were calls for the media to, you know, do more to find her. And then she returned home on foot. So right now, it's just, you know, a lot of details that we still do not know. It's still developing. Things are changing. Like, for example, I just saw the update 32 minutes ago with the footage. So this is one of those things where, you know, we just have to wait until more stuff comes out. Now, they did say when the officers arrived at the scene, they saw her wig, phone, and purse on the ground, but there was no sign of the child anywhere at all. So,
well, I'm glad that young lady is home. Mm-hmm. And if it indeed was an abduction, in connection with human trafficking, I pray to God that we can bring down every single human trafficking organization on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And just for clarity, because I want to make sure I give that correction, it was Thursday, you know, when she went missing.
Thursday night,
and then
right?
Saturday. Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. And Saturday when she was found.
All right. Well, that is front page news. Now, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, or you had a great weekend, whatever it may be, phone lines are open for you. 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest.
Keep calling.
800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Zach out of Houston.
Zach out of Houston, man. Zach, what up, man? Get it off your chest, bro.
What's up, man? Hey, Charlamagne, good morning.
Peace, Zach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, yo, so I got a 2-year-old, and y'all got some kids around my same age. What they eating? Because my son eats juice, crackers, and strawberries. That's about it.
That's your fault.
Yeah, that's your I'll be honest, man.
I got the green beans. He won't eat them.
Nope. I keep telling y'all, when a kid get hungry, a kid gonna eat anything. Y'all, what happens is these kids start bucking back when they don't want something, and we bow down to them and give them what they want.
Yeah, you shouldn't give your child that many snacks. And I tell all the parents out there, For my last daughter never really ate baby food. She ate, like, real food.
We did the whole try to mash things up, you know, do all that. He did good at first. But
like Charlamagne said, the baby got to be eating something. Y'all either giving that baby snacks, y'all giving that baby crackers, y'all giving that baby...
Oh, well, no. Eventually he'll eat. I guess he'll...
You got to starve him out. Got to starve him out, man.
but try to find things that the baby will eat. Like my daughter loves, and she's not even 2 years old. But my daughter loves like the little chicken fingers that you could bake in the oven.
Y'all want to chicken fingers these kids to death.
My daughter loves that.
Chicken fingers ain't no better than the stuff y'all talking about. Chicken fingers to death.
But that's better than crackers and strawberries.
I don't know if it is actually.
Yes, it is, man.
Processed chicken fingers over fresh strawberries.
Well, it's not processed.
What is it then, Envy?
It's chicken breast. White chicken breast, not processed.
You said chicken fingers.
Well, no, they're the chicken breast that they made in the
different.
Fingers.
Yeah, chicken breast is different.
It's not chicken fingers from a fast food place, but I would try that. Also, see, my child likes things like rice, macaroni and cheese, and then I throw in broccoli.
I think it's the noodle.
My child loves broccoli.
Hey, y'all sound crazy. Y'all like... My kids like food. That's all y'all saying.
Name
it food.
Because if you got a picky kid, like, you know, I had picky kids that, like you said, will only eat strawberries. There's something about strawberries that the kids like. Strawberries, bananas, but...
That's good.
But make them eat more fruit. But they need a little more substance. They need a little more meat, pause.
Fruit is good. Strawberries and bananas is good.
But they need some meat, too. Some protein.
It's the processed stuff that's killing our kids. Or killing us, too, goddamn.
All right, well, I'm going to try some of that. Hey, but can I get a book, a hat?
Yeah, I got you.
Hold on, okay?
If they actually send it to you this time. They have me lying to the people.
Hold on, all right?
I got Black Effect hats here. I got all types of books. I got my own book, Shook One. I got Tamika Mallory, State of Emergency, Anita Koufax, Shallow Waters. But, you know, the producers got to send them out.
Yeah, Real Love. Real Life, Real Love is here, too.
Yep.
Hello, who's this?
It's Blake.
Blake, what up? Get it off your chest.
What's up, man? Look here. I don't know if y'all remember what y'all was doing in 1993.
No.
Hell.
But on June 23rd, 1993, I met this woman. And we fell in love, and I wanted to be a hot boy. I ran her off.
How old were you in 1993?
I was 18.
Okay.
Okay.
She was 16.
So come on, get to the story. Now you 40. Now you 48. What's up?
So 30 years to the day that we met, after we went and lived our lives and, you know, matured on other people's hands, we got married.
Okay.
On the day that we met, 30 years later.
That's amazing, well, brother. Congratulations, brother. King.
Shout your queen out.
I want to shout out my beautiful, beautiful wife, Sheila Gaines. And I tried to call her the day of, but I got shut down. But that's another thing. But I just wanted to get that out there.
When you say you got sat down, you went to jail?
No, he said he got shut out. He couldn't get through the phone.
No, I didn't go to jail. I wasn't mature enough to handle the woman.
Oh, got you. Okay. Got you.
Well, I wanted to be a drug dealer. I wanted to be a pimp, a player.
Well, I'm glad you grew up.
Yeah.
I was 15 in 1993. I don't remember anything from 1993. I'm sitting there trying to think, like, 1993 specifically?
No.
15? I can't recall much.
No. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need the vit, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's a new day.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Wait. Wake up!
Whether you're mad or blessed.
It's time to get up and get something.
Call up now. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, it's Leo. What's going on, man? Peace.
Leo, what up? Get it off your chest.
Man, I want to get off my chest about Charlamagne, man. Hey, Charlamagne, it's almost been 30 years since you seen Jordan pick up a ball. Stop bringing up Jordan when you talk about LeBron. Please, man. It's almost been 30 years.
What does that mean? So because a person was prospering 30 years ago, we supposed to just stop talking about his accomplishments 30 years later?
Nobody brings up Joe Budden. When we talk about Charlamagne, we're giving you your flowers.
I don't understand the logic. I don't understand the logic or the comparison you just made.
Charlamagne don't rap.
But I don't understand that logic or comparison. But there's always going to be a Michael Jordan conversation in regards to LeBron whenever somebody says LeBron is the greatest basketball player of all time, because the greatest basketball player of all time is Michael Jordan. So there's always going to be a debate.
Now, for people that just joined us earlier today, we reported that LeBron is changing his number back to 23 in honor of Bill
Russell.
And
guess whose number was 23?
Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
And Charlamagne and myself said we feel that the 23 number should be retired in the league. That's it. It was no comparison. It was nothing else.
Ask LeBron James why he wears the number 23. And then ask me, are we ever going to be able to separate Michael Jordan from any discussion of LeBron being the GOAT?
Hello, who's this?
Good morning.
Good morning. Get it off your chest.
I just wanted to give you guys a shout out. Y'all are like low-key my inspiration in the morning. I just wanted to give you guys your flowers this morning. That's all.
Well, thank you, Queen. Well,
thank you so much.
Molly.
Hey, Molly. I'm glad we can wake you up in the morning. I'm glad you enjoy waking up with the Breakfast Club in the morning. Let me ask you a question. How long have you been listening to the Breakfast Club?
I've been listening to y'all for like the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay, so who do you think should be the new co-host?
Ooh, I'm sorry. I got to go with my girl, Just Hilarious. Love her.
Okay. And how old are you, mama?
Okay.
I'm 33.
Okay. 33, okay. She said Just Hilarious. Okay.
All right. Why are you asking that?
Well, I mean, I just feel like it's about time for us to start making those decisions.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
It's summertime. We're going into the fall. You know? I know we said we was going to wait till the rest of the year. But, you know, I just feel like you might need to start thinking about these type of things.
Okay. We've been thinking about it, though.
Watch the throne.
Okay.
Watch the throne. There's another throne to be added, right?
That's right.
All right.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. When we come back, we got your room report. We got to talk Dr. Dre. He'll tell you about two people he refused to work with. We'll get to it next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million-dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because It was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Dr. Dre.
Rumor has it. Rumor has it.
Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is the Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on the Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Yes.
Right.
On the Breakfast Club.
Now, Dr. Dre sat down with Kevin Hart on his show Heart to Heart series.
I watched that
on Peacock.
This weekend. Mm-hmm. I did. I watched that in full this weekend.
All right. Now, they talked about a lot of things, but one of the things that was very interesting was the fact that he turned down working with his heroes, Prince and Michael Jackson.
Who did you have the opportunity to work with? He was like, no, I didn't, that you regret and that you should have worked with?
Prince, Michael Jackson.
You bowed out from working with them?
Yeah.
Both of them?
Yeah.
You didn't work with both Prince and Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Was it like a demo tape or something?
Nah, they just asked me to work with them, and I just like, what the f*** am I going to do with them?
What?
Yeah, that happened.
What?
Yeah.
Was there like...
What the f*** am I going to do in the studio with them? Those are my f***ing heroes, man, you know?
You're Dr. Dre.
Stop.
I respected his answer in its totality, though. He said, you know, he basically said, what would I do in the studio with either one of them? Because he said he's better at working with new people. He said he wouldn't be able to coach them. Is what he didn't use the word coach, but that's what he was saying.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's, you know, Michael Jackson was great. Prince is great. Dre was great. So the fact that you get all that greatness in the studio coming together, I mean, you could just imagine some of the ideas or things that they would have came up with.
I respect it, though. Because, I mean, how many people would just jump to work at the chance with Michael Jackson and Prince? But Dr. Dre's like, look, if I don't feel like I'm going to bring my A game, if I don't feel like I'm going to do something new with either one of these icons, then I'd rather not do it. But they said no show is better than a bad show. Because what if that record wasn't good? We'd be killing. Because we'd be expecting so much, right?
Right.
A Michael Jackson, Dr. Dre record, a Prince, Dr. Dre record. We'd be expecting so much. If it's subpar, we're going to kill him.
Yeah, but I don't think Dre would make a subpar. I mean, Dre's the same guy that's, you know, produced for Snoop and Pac and Mary J. Blige and 50 and Eminem.
Well,
and
he felt like he could do something with them. He felt like he couldn't do nothing with Prince and Michael. I respect the fact that he... I guess he knew his limitations.
Mm-hmm.
He said Stevie Wonder, too. That was another person he named.
Wow. Yep. Now, Jay-Z, salute to Jay-Z. Drop a bomb for Jay-Z. His Sean Carter Foundation raised $20 million at the Black Tie New York City Gala the other night. Some of the people in the building, of course, was Beyonce, Uzi, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft, NFL commissioner, Michael Rubin.
I heard a couple of rappers paid $1 million for a Michael Rubin hug from the back, too. I'm not going...
Really?
I don't want to say no names, but I heard a couple of rappers there paid $1 million for a Michael Rubin hug from the back. Is there any truth to that?
Well, maybe, because he reached $20 million. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos contributed a $10 million legacy donation. They said Twitter founder Jack Dorsey donated $2 million. So salute to Hov and getting all that money. Now, that money benefits individuals dealing with socioeconomic hardships pursue their education at institutions. So again, congratulations to Hov. All right. Lastly, we got to talk Boosie Badass. All right. Now, Boosie Badass's daughter, Boosie's daughter claims that Boosie took back her car because she wanted to care for her mom. Now, Boosie's daughter went on Instagram alleging that the rapper took back the car he had gifted her and that she was so upset just because she wanted to move in with her mom and help her mom. Well, Boosie, of course, replied, I take a car for her leaving Atlanta. LOL. Big lie. She left Atlanta out of nowhere because she knew her moms had filed child support papers on me. This is after I brought you an $80,000 car. I've always taken care of my children. She wasn't saying this 2 weeks ago when she was in Atlanta going on shopping sprees every day. And as never said this, but now I'm not a dad. Spoiled. If you're gonna go down, talk. If you're going to talk down on your father, mind you, Boosie wrote this. This is why it's a little all the crits, please. If you're going to talk down on your father, talk the truth about your mother, who's been arrested over 12 times for stealing and yada, 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 yada. So they've been going back and forth online. It's a long ass post. And this is why I say, when parents and kids get into a situation or there's an argument or anything with family, I always say keep it off the gram. There's no reason why all this should be on the gram.
Yeah, I don't care. It's not my business. Even if they post on social media, it's still not my business. And, you know, nothing I hate seeing more than this. Like, kids spazzing on parents on social media. And when parents spazz on their kids on social media, I don't like any of it. Like, is there no other way to have conversations with each other than social media? There's no other way to express your grievances or your issues nowadays other than getting online and airing out your child or your child airing out parents? I don't like it. Like, what do you hope to accomplish by doing that?
Yeah, there's audio. We don't need to play the audio, but you know, this is just a deeper problem. When I say when you have children, and children, if you're listening, if there is an issue, if there is a problem, if there is any altercation or anything, you should directly go to your mother or your father. The reason being is you don't want to do something that, as Charlamagne will always say, you don't want to do something for a emotion and then think about it later and be like, damn, I effed up, because a lot of the things that you do, you can't bring back. You can't take that.
They're making permanent decisions based off temporary feelings. Like, yeah, you mad at your pops today, but you get online and air your pops out. That's still your pops.
Correct.
For the rest of your life.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And vice versa. If you're a parent, you get online and air your child out. Now you put some and publicly embarrass your child, traumatize your child. That's still your child at the end of the day.
Right. And we didn't see that with Russell Simmons and his daughter recently. We didn't see that with Master P and his son. We didn't see that with Kirk Franklin and his son. And now this is just,
I just
don't like to see family business in the public like that.
And I don't know what you hope to accomplish by doing this. Mm-mm. That's my biggest thing. Like, what do you hope to gain by doing any of this?
Right. All right, well, that is your rumor report. Now, when we come back, we got front page news. Tesla and Figaro will be joining us. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Our Audible pick of the day is Snoop Dogg's From the Streets to the Suites. Here's Snoop's journey from the streets of Long Beach to hip-hop legend. Listen when you sign up for a free trial at audible.com/Snoop.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Cousin Figaro is back. What up, Tiz?
What up, DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God?
Peace, Tiz.
Let's jump right into it. Let's talk about this Arizona Republican referring to black Americans as colored people in the House floor debate.
Yes, Arizona Republican Representative Eli Crane referred to black people as colored people Thursday in a floor debate over his proposed amendment to an annual defense policy bill. Now, it prompted a stern rebuke from the former chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, Representative Joyce Beatty from Ohio. Let's listen to the exchange, and we will talk about it on the other side.
Well, Mr. Chairman, though, that was unbelievably inspiring. My amendment has nothing to do with whether or not colored people or black people or anybody can serve, okay? It has nothing to do with color of your skin, any of that stuff. What we want to preserve and maintain is the fact that our military does not become a social experiment. We want the best of the best. We want to have standards that guide who's in what unit, what they do. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, the North Koreans, they are not doing this because they want the strongest military possible.
I'd like to be recognized to have the words colored people stricken from the record. I find it offensive.
Oh, God.
And very inappropriate.
Is the gentlelady asking for unanimous consent to take down the words?
I am asking for unanimous consent to take down the words of referring to me or any of my colleagues as colored people.
So colored people is offensive now?
Yeah, it's offensive.
I think so. I mean, nobody refers to anybody black as colored.
That's not true. The NAACP is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. We say people of color all the time.
I don't think anybody referred to me as a colored person.
The NAACP is called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Right. But we have to put some context with this, though. You know, we're talking about a bill that was literally about removing race. Let me just kind of explain what the defense bill amendment is about so people can understand why it was so offensive. Mm-hmm. So the defense bill amendment that they were adding and arguing with at that particular time was about prohibiting the race, gender, religion, political affiliation for recruitment, training, education, promotion, or retention decisions. So basically, it was, I'm paraphrasing. paraphrasing when I say that. It was kind of like saying, let's end affirmative action, not call affirmative action, but very similar for the military. And so Representative Crane was arguing, saying that, no, you know, we need to remove this because the military was not about being inclusive. And Representative Beatty was saying, no, you're undermining the opportunity for, you know, black people to be able to serve. So when he used that term in that context, especially for somebody, Representative Joyce Beatty, 73 years old. So she's remembering certainly a time when that word was used derogatory. And since they were literally trying to figure out how to not consider race, that's where the offense came from.
So why would we ever name a black organization something that has always been considered derogatory?
Then maybe that's a conversation we need to have to change that. But nobody's ever referred to me as colored. I don't think anybody would say, hey, look at the colored boy.
They say people of color. They may not say colored people, but they say people of color. We say people of color all the time.
Well, for clarity, and I don't like saying people of color, and just as a side note, but for just to answer that question on NAACP, it was established in 1909. So that was a word that was used at that particular time. So when in 1909, yeah, we were called colored people. So I guess for Representative Beatty, she feels, and many other Democrats feel that Republicans don't make no sense either.
Because they didn't name it the National Association for the Advancement of Niggas. We was called niggas in 1909, too.
You are crazy.
If it's a derogatory term, it's a derogatory term. Like, why would we choose a derogatory term to represent a whole organization?
That's another conversation, but I don't think I've ever been referred to as a colored person, and I don't think when that man was referring to it, I don't think he was trying to refer to it in a nice way.
Well, he said colored person, then he said people. He said black people.
Yeah, because people started going, oh, you can hear him in the background, sounding like they pissed off.
All I'm saying
that's like a black person going up there and saying, instead of saying white, saying something else.
I just think we need to stop looking at isolated incidents sometime and take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Because if the colored people is indeed, you know, a derogatory term, we got to change a lot of things.
But I think it was deeper than the term, though, Charlamagne. I mean, it was about what they're trying to do to the colored people, which is take them out of not having an opportunity to serve in the military.
That's not what she said. We're highlighting this because she specifically pushed back on the use of the term colored people.
She pushed back, but I'm telling you the reason why she pushed back.
I understand the context of debating over the bill, but in that particular moment, she was pushing back against the term colored person.
Sure, she was feeling away because he doesn't want colored people to have that. When you're recruiting for the military, you're saying, hey, we want a certain amount of diversity, trying to end diversity.
Listen, I'm not saying he was saying it in a good way. I'm just saying we got to take a step back and say, why is this organization called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People? Because that's ridiculous. If we're saying this is a derogatory term, that is ridiculous off the top. And the term people of color. Right?
Well, I don't like the term people of color.
Because all you're doing is flipping the words. People of color.
But he came out and said he misspoke. He apologized, right? He said he quote-unquote misspoke.
I didn't see anything about no misspoke.
In CBS News, it says Representative Eli Crane said he misspoke after he used the racially charged term colored people on the House floor.
That's right. He used the term colored people, and we need to call the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People to get on his ass about using the term colored people.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't see how ridiculous we be sounding sometime, y'all.
I do want people to know that when you hear this bill, you're going to hear about this bill over the next few weeks. And Republicans are saying that this bill is about a 5.2% pay raise. But it is not just about the pay raise. It is about all of the other amendments that they attach to it. And that's how stuff kind of, you know, it doesn't pass because they attach one thing to everything else. More than likely, this bill will fail at the Senate. It did pass at the House of Representatives. And certainly if it goes to President Biden's desk, it will more than likely be vetoed. So,
well, we need to go to the phone lines. Let's open up the conversation to the people, because I feel like, you know, in the context that this man used colored people, right? Mm-hmm. In the context he used it in this discussion, it didn't offend me. And if that's the case, then NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, should offend us. And the term people of color. What's the difference between colored people and people of color?
You know what? Let's open up the phone lines. It don't feel right to me. 800-585-1051. That's like talking to my neighbor and be like, yeah, did you see them colored people up the block?
Yeah, but guess what, Envy? The N-word don't feel right to you either when somebody else says it to you, but it feels right when you're having a conversation amongst your own.
That's facts.
But that don't mean it's right.
Yeah.
I've been saying we should all of us should collectively stop using the N-word. But when it comes to that term, colored people, the dude said colored people, then he said black people. I don't see how that's offensive if we run around saying people of color all day, and we have an organization called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
That don't make it right. I'm just thinking, like, you know, just imagine your kids playing in the playground and be like, hey, who's my daughter playing with, the little colored boy? That just sounds crazy.
Context is everything. Yes, you're right. But in the context that he used it, it didn't offend me. But if it does offend, if we're saying now that colored people, right, is an offensive term.
Right.
Why do we have an organization called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People? Why do we say people of color? And our guy, who's a cameraman here, he came in. He said, I never use people of color because it just feel like you're saying colored people
right.
in a different way. And he's Italian. He just literally came in here and said that. He said he's never felt like it was right.
Color seems strange to me. But all right, let's talk about it. 800-585-1051. What's your thoughts? Let's discuss. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's topic time. Pick up the phone, baby. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Now we're taking your calls, 800-585-1051. If you just join us, during Front Page News, we were talking about Arizona Republican referring to black Americans as colored people.
What's his name?
I don't know his name. Let's play the audio.
Mr. Chairman, though, that was unbelievably inspiring. My amendment has nothing to do with whether or not colored people or black people or anybody can serve, okay? It has nothing to do with color of your skin, any of that stuff. What we want to preserve and maintain is the fact that our military does not become a social experiment. We want the best of the best. We want to have standards that guide who's in what unit, what they do. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, the North Koreans, they are not doing this because they want the strongest military possible.
I'd like to be recognized to have the words colored people stricken from the record. I find it offensive and very inappropriate.
Is the gentlelady asking for unanimous consent to take down the words?
I am asking for unanimous consent to take down the words of referring to me or any of my colleagues as colored people.
Well, the congressman's name is Eli Crane. Eli Crane is his name. Look, I'm not saying that colored people is not offensive because everything is about context. So there's absolutely a context where colored people can be offensive. But I don't think that was one of those times. And if colored people is offensive, then we need to have a meeting because we use colored people all the time in various ways. We say people of color, and people of color is just saying colored people with better grammar. NAACP is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Hell, in the Wayans intro, they say we're happy and we're singing and we're colored. So all I'm saying is if colored is offensive, colored people is offensive, then we need to have a meeting and revise some things, don't you think?
Well, I mean, the Wayans brothers are black, so they can say color just like they can say the N-word. They can say it if they want. But when it comes to anybody on the outside race using it, I don't like it. I think it's offensive. And if people don't like it, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't sit right with me.
How do you feel about people of color when they say people, when they refer to us and brown people as people of color? Because that's just saying colored people with better grammar.
I mean, I don't really hear people say that. I see people here say black people. I see
everybody says people of color. No, what do you mean people of color is used every day? They use that term all the time. They lump us all in. They be like, people of color, diversity and inclusion.
Yeah, but when they say people of color, they usually mean what? Black people, they mean brown people. They could mean Indian people, it could mean Spanish people, it could mean so many different people. But colored people means black people. That's not true. Yes. When you refer to, let's say, somebody Spanish or somebody Indian or somebody, they don't refer them as colored people.
Well,
colored people is referred to as black people.
My point is, people of color, colored people, it's the same thing. You're just using better grammar.
But if people are offended by it, maybe we shouldn't say it. It seems like any...
That's all I'm saying. It's a discussion.
But every other organization or group, if they say they offended by it, people stop using it. The LGBTQ community, there were words that we would say back in the 80s.
That's right.
That would refer to, like, for instance, homosexual, right? Now, I don't think I can use that term referring to him.
You can't say homosexual.
I don't think so.
Shut up, Envy. Boy, you make me sick sometimes. Yes, you can say homosexual. That's when you can't say homosexual.
Oh, all right, take the sexual off. You can't say that part
anymore.
Well,
that's different.
But back then you could. Or same thing with
You couldn't back then, by the way. No, you couldn't. There's never been a time you could just call somebody the homosexual without the sexual.
I don't remember
that time.
Maybe a little person. Little person, before you would say midget. Now you can't say midget.
I still say midget. Little person sound more offensive.
Well, the little people, well, you are little purpose. So you could, you know what? Let's go to the phone.
All I'm simply saying is, and by the way, when people are offended, they call their organizations, right? To have their back.
Yes.
So if I'm offended by the word colored people, I got to call the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People to have my back. You know, you see how stupid that sounds?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Vivian, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm sorry for laughing, Vivian. Charlamagne's a jerk, and I hate him, but go ahead, Vivian.
Yes. I'm calling because I disagree with Charlamagne. Mm-hmm. He's saying, okay, first of all, it was established in 1909. Back then, the term colored was accepted. And not to mention, it wasn't exclusively for blacks. It was really for people of color. And as time goes on, there are... Yes.
I just told
you. So why would you say, why would it be called the National Association for the N-Word? That wouldn't even be considered.
Oh, because...
And there are a lot of terms... Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say, because in 1909...
There are a lot of...
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, there are a lot of terms that over time become unacceptable. Like the term... The R word, you know, for people with mental illnesses.
Hey,
over time,
point.
That became...
That's
yes.
My point. Back then, you, there was words that were okay. Well, then listen, we changed. And you talking about, she's talking about, okay. And we're not talking about the word retarded. People don't like that word.
Okay.
Now it's different words.
Exactly.
Same thing with midget.
Okay.
Same thing with this LGBTQ words.
Can we take a step back for a second? I concede that both of y'all are correct. I don't disagree with any of those points. But what I'm simply saying is, why do we still call it the NAACP then? Why do we still say people of color? That's all I'm saying.
So what should we change it to?
I don't know.
What should we change it
I'm
to?
I'm just saying that this feels crazy.
Because this is an established organization. It's been around for over 100 years. You know, to change it now, it just wouldn't sound right if you ask
but
me.
But that doesn't make any sense. If we're saying that colored people is offensive, why wouldn't we change? And you're telling me that over time, colored people has gotten more offensive. Why wouldn't we tell them to change the name of the organization?
We should then. Hello, who's this?
This is Kim.
Hey, Kim. Good morning. What's your thoughts?
I completely disagree with what Charlamagne is talking about. Charlamagne, you have got to take a second and think about the words that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to respond, but you're not listening to understand.
Yes, ma'am.
If the NAACP was started in 1909, it makes perfectly good sense. The context of the word matters, like how he was saying it was in a derogatory manner. It's the same way we use the N-word in our culture. It's accepted within our culture, but we know surely when somebody's saying it in a negative way. So you can't just keep saying, oh, this organization uses it, so why is it defensive? Offensive. It's absolutely offensive the way it was spoken.
You think that makes sense? Like you think
it makes perfectly good sense.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. We're saying that the term colored people is offensive, right? You're saying that.
I'm saying yes. In the context that it was used and the way it was used, was offensive.
I don't think the context that he used it in on that floor is offensive. I think there is a way that word can be used in the context that offensive, but not the way he used it just now on that floor.
800-585-1051. We're going to take more calls. If you're just joining us, Arizona Republican, he was on the House floor and referred to black Americans as colored people. We're asking what your thoughts. We'll play the audio when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Steady calling my phone.
Tell her. It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Arizona Republican on the House floor referred to black Americans as colored people.
His name is Eli Crane.
Eli Crane, and here's the audio.
Well, Mr. Chairman, though, that was unbelievably inspiring. My amendment has nothing to do with whether or not colored people or black people or anybody can serve, okay? It has nothing to do with color of your skin, any of that stuff. What we want to preserve and maintain is the fact that our military does not become...
You can stop it right there.
And listen, colored people absolutely can be offensive, but everything is about context. You know, there is absolutely a context where colored people can be offensive. I don't think that was one of those times. And once again, I'm going to keep saying this. If colored people is now offensive, then we need to have a meeting about the term people of color. Because that's just saying colored people with better grammar. And we definitely need to have a conversation about the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Right. It's like the term when you refer to Jewish people, right? And you take off ISH, right? But for years, people would just say, hey, the so-and-so live in that area. It wasn't supposed to mean derogatory. It was how people would say it. Then we realized that they didn't like it, that it was derogatory.
So
we don't say that word. Now we say Jewish.
But no, it's still a context to that, too, though. Because, you know, you can say... I remember we had the head of the ADL up here, Jonathan Greenblatt, and
right.
We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's all about context. Because there's like you can say that word shortened in a negative
Look
context.
Look, we won't even say the word. Because we don't necessarily understand.
I try not to practice bad habits.
Because we don't know.
You know what I mean? I've been trying to stop saying the N-word for years.
That's a damn lie.
I have.
You called me, you said N-word the other day.
Because you be acting like one. See? I try not to say it, but I can't think of no other word.
See? Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Shanice.
Hey, Shan, good morning. What's your thoughts?
So I'm not against color. That's because Black women have different beautiful colored children. But I do think we need to look at the word minority a little bit. Just because, what's the opposite of minority? Majority, right?
Yep.
Why are we less than, you know?
Okay. I mean, that's just a numbers thing. I get what she's saying, but it's just a numbers
thing. But minority means is we're low in numbers, as opposed to the majority of people, which is...
But if you put all the colors together, we're the majority.
Shut up, man. Hello, who's this?
If you put all the colors together, we're the majority.
Hey, this is King from Oxnard.
What's up, King? Talk to us, brother.
What's up, Envy? I wanted to talk about that color thing. So what I noticed, though, is like I'm rolling with Charlamagne on this one, because what I noticed is every morning you guys play like this thing from the Wayans brothers, where they sing we're happy and we're single and we're... Colors,
singing.
Day.
We're not single. We're married. Singing. Singing.
Okay, we're singing. But that's what I'm saying. It's like if we go on, like, you know, take offense to some of these words, then we got to take it out. Like, people talking about the NAACP. We got to change that too. And then we got to stop playing that stuff, you know, in the morning and all of that. If we're gonna be taking offense to it, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's common sense to me, my brother. But you know, common sense ain't common nowadays. I'm with you.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. Hello, who's this?
This is Shar.
Hey, Shar. Good morning. Talk to us.
Good morning. First of all, I think Envy is right. It's a feeling, number one. Number two, it's coming from people who we perceive don't like us. And it sounds like a label when they say it. When we speak about it, it's a description. But when they speak about it, it's a label. Just like Jewish people, you don't say the you say Jewish. It's derogatory.
Yeah, but those those people also don't have organizations named after their slurs. So if colored people is indeed a slur, like we have the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
We're describing ourselves.
So why can't somebody else describe us in that way? Like I'm just.
No, when they say it, they're labeling us. That's a label.
So what is people of color?
They say it to us.
What is people of color?
People of color, we're describing ourselves.
But don't you think that's just colored people with better grammar?
No, because colored people is referred to as black people. People of color is black, is brown people, is Indian people.
So people of color is offensive too?
Indian people.
But colored people is as well. Colored people is...
Colored people is described as black people.
No, it's not.
When you say a colored person, nobody ever think it was a Latino. If you say colored person, nobody ever think it was Indian.
That's y'all for being stupid.
No, colored people is referred to as black people.
Let me look up colored people.
You're right as well. We do need to have a conversation about
The term colored in British usage, the term refers to a person who is wholly or partly of non-white descent. That is not just black people, y'all. Like what are we doing here, man? Seriously, what are we doing? Why are we acting so silly here? Huh?
Well, what's the moral of the story?
I mean, the moral of the story is what I said earlier. I'm not saying that colored people is not offensive. Anything can be offensive, right? Because everything is about context. So there's absolutely a context where colored people can be offensive. I don't think that guy using it on the floor was one of those times. But on another note, if colored people is offensive, if it is a slur, as y'all are trying to tell me this morning, then we need to have a meeting. Because we say people of color, and I feel that's just saying colored people with better grammar. And we have the NAACP, which is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. We need to have a meeting and revise some things, don't you think? Right?
Well, we could discuss.
Especially when y'all keep saying, "Well, we created that word back in 1909, but over time it seemed to be a bad word." All the more reason we probably should revise some things, right? All right.
Well,
I'm just simply saying, like, what are we arguing about? Something that seems very common sense to me.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to the rumor report. Let's talk about big colored then.
BBC. it's actually big black.
Yes, but
so it's not colored.
But I changed it to colors that you like.
Okay. BCC. Big colored.
BCC.
Okay.
All right, we're going to talk about BCCs when we come back.
Okay.
All right.
You just got very excited about that.
We'll get to it next. It's the Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Back to that work week. Now, did you, in Jersey, there was a couple of tornadoes over the weekend. Did you see that?
I ain't seen no damn tornadoes.
A couple tornadoes.
For real?
Yeah.
I miss those.
Yeah, the weather's been nasty in a couple of places. I've seen that.
I saw some flash flooding happening.
A lot of flash flooding.
Pennsylvania, a rest in peace to the family from Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Some of them lost their life in the flood. I don't remember how many, but.
Yeah, very sad. So I know the weather's been very, very disgusting recently when it came to weather. They said it's been, I think July, the July 3rd, 4th, and 5th was the hottest days ever.
I saw that. Well, y'all thought climate change wasn't real. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all listening to all these climate change deniers as if, you know, what's happening on this planet isn't real. But you starting to see the effects of that now.
Yeah, they're saying in Vegas it's over 100 degrees the last couple of weeks. And also in Houston, it's been, you know, over 100 degrees last week and this week. So well,
climate change is real, people.
Jesus Christ. All right. Now, when we come back, we got to talk Adam 22. You know, he's a podcast, and not only that, he's a ex-porn star. So he talks about his wife.
Adam was a porn star?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Allowing his wife to have a BBC takeover. We'll talk about that. And then rewarding her with a Lambo. Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Some thoughts to ponder on this Monday morning.
What's that?
All is ripping out the plastic.
Yes.
Is anyone recycling? Recycling is important.
Oh, shut up,
okay?
Man.
And it's all fun and games until the ripping out the plastic challenge becomes about condoms. Rip me out the plastic, not a baby brand new. Happy Monday.
There you go. Well, let's get to rumors. Let's talk Adam 22.
Rumor has it.
Call out a name or you gossiping or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is the Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on The Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Yes.
Right.
On The Breakfast Club.
Now, Adam 22, you might know him. He's a podcaster. He's the host of the No Jumper podcast. He's also a porn star. So he's been trending the last couple of days because he revealed that he was allowing his wife, Lena the Plug, to film her first ever intimate scene with another man. Now, the man is a big black dude.
The big colored?
Yeah, I was going to say big colored.
Why you want to say colored
now? Nope. Now, we talk about after they filmed the scene, Lena the Plug, who this was the first time ever having an intimate scene with another man, and this was a big black dude.
You know how it is once you get into the moment. It's like, you know, it's all no holds bar. Let's go.
Do you think that you her better than Adam did?
Well, obviously, yes. But I'm pretty sure he probably felt different with Adam for her because love is involved emotions. But as for the physical aspect of getting obviously.
Right.
You need to find that brother's name and say that brother's name.
What's his name?
Jason Love.
What?
Jason Love.
His name is Jason Love.
Okay, Jason Love. Stop Jason calling Love. That man big and black and all this other crazy stuff.
I did not say the big black brother, but also.
His name is Jason Love.
So now Adam 22 talks to his
that
wife.
That was him talking just now?
That was him talking to him. Give him play-by-play of what happened after the porn session.
A post-game on the Pound Town is crazy. Do we need a post-game on the Pound Town? I don't think we need a post-game on the Pound Town.
Well, she did one, too, and she talks about how her vagina felt.
I was in a lot of pain for a few days, so having sex was, you know.
It was reupholstered.
You were a little traumatized by me being like, ouch, hold on.
At first, yeah. But that did go away pretty quickly.
It took like 3 or 4 days, yeah.
You feel like it snapped back? Well, you never had the natural birth that you were planning on.
I don't believe that a vagina stretches from having sex once for 40 minutes with a bigger
You know, now that I'm getting more context about this situation, I don't see the issue with any of it. If all of them are porn stars.
Well, he rewarded her with a Lamborghini truck after having her first scene without him. But you don't see. What'd you say? What?
I don't see the problem with it if all of them are porn stars. If all of them are porn stars, this is what porn stars do.
Yeah, but when do you retire? I'm sure Adam is making enough money.
When
just
do
bought
you
her.
Retire?
Adam bought her a Lamborghini. When do you retire? And before that, she never did a scene with anybody else. So now she has the scene with somebody else. Now I get it. If that was the only way of income, that was the only way of making money. But that's still his wife. At the end of the day, they've never done a scene like that. Now,
well, if your business is porn and you know, you're exhausted, I guess maybe the possibilities between you and your significant other, like everybody's seen that a million times. You got to do something else, right?
Yeah, but when do you stop? You're hosting podcasts. You don't. She doesn't have to do it for money anymore.
I don't know these people's financial situation.
And the only thing that he said that he didn't want it is he didn't want her to have a facial and no kissing.
Pound Town just left Pound Town. I don't know, man.
Well, speaking of Pound Town, Sexy Red made an appearance at a high school, and people are upset. Now, in the clip, she enters the school gymnasium to the music. She's throwing up the middle finger and gang signs, and people are saying that she shouldn't have been allowed to in high school.
Why?
Well, she responded, y'all do know I went there to give the boys money for their haircuts and girls bundles for prom week. Because I remember when I needed help with my prom and stuff. So people are saying that the principal should have made a different pick. It should have been another appearance for another school. Maybe she should have did college and not high school.
What?
Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying.
I don't know, man.
It's not like the high school students don't listen to these songs and records and watch these videos anyway. But they're saying bringing it to...
Well, wasn't she there to do a good deed?
She was there to do a good deed.
Isn't that what should matter? The fact that she did a good deed?
Yes, but people are saying maybe they should have picked another artist.
Maybe they didn't pick anybody. Maybe she chose to do that. Maybe that artist, what's her name? Maybe Sexy Red said, hey, this is what I want to do for this school. Maybe the school didn't pick her. Maybe she just woke up one morning and said, you know what? I'm making some money now. I want to do something good for some kids. I'm going to choose this school.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
Well, people are upset about that and upset with the principal.
And what if it was a sex ed class? What if those kids need to know what color a booty hole is?
Yo, shut up,
Have
man.
You ever thought about that?
No.
Okay, did you know what color a booty hole was before Sexy Red?
No.
Exactly. See, you educated a lot of us.
It's brown.
I've never looked, you know, but I would assume it's brown.
It's brown.
Yeah.
And lastly, syphilis is making a return. Syphilis has increased 128% among women in Houston since 2019.
And that ain't Sexy Red fault. Now, who you going to blame for that?
They said new infections rose by 57%.
That's all that ripping out the plastic. People taking them condoms off.
There were 2,900 new infections in 2022.
Damn. What's the rhyme? Why? Come on, give me a reason why. You can't just say that. What's the reason? Ain't no reason why.
They said there's a rise. It says syphilis has happens when a pregnant person passes the bacterial infection, so now your baby can get it in the womb. If untreated, can lead to stillbirth or damage the baby's organs or bones. So they're saying, please get yourself checked out and double check. But syphilis has increased 128% among women.
Well, I just looked and said sexual health in general really seems to be underemphasized due to a lack of screening. Other significant issues such as access to care, funding, lack of available clinics. All of these factors contribute to the rising rates of
syphilis,
sexually transmitted diseases like syphilis.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Whole world.
Happy Monday.
Y'all better stop ripping out them plastics and keeping the plastics on, if you know what I know.
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, that is your rumor report. Now, who are you giving that donkey to?
Before after the hour, we need a man named Gary Hillman to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him. I don't know how many other ways to tell y'all to stop drinking and driving, but we'll discuss.
All right. We'll get to that next. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum Large Size Condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor, and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum Large Size Condoms.
WWPR FM HD1 New York.
An iHeart Radio station.
You don't get a date. You dumb ass. You get don't get a date. You dumb ass.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm going to fatten all that shit around your eyes.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was going to be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. It's a Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Ed Sheeran. Donkey of the Day for Monday, July 17th goes to Gary Hillman. I feel like I just be telling y'all the same things over and over and over and over again. But Gary Hillman is 48 years old, and he was arrested for being more than 3 times over the drunk driving limit. Let me tell you something. I don't know why we are still getting on this radio and telling people not to drink and drive. With all these rideshare companies that exist today, there is absolutely no reason. But here's the thing. It's one thing to get behind the wheel. It's another to get behind the wheel and still not know when to quit. See, Gary Hillman was determined to either kill somebody or kill himself when he was driving drunk. What do you mean, Uncle Charlotte? Well, Gary was pissy drunk, and on Friday around 2:50 p.m., clearly day drinking, okay? Clearly just left for brunch or something. He collided with a security fence after going too fast around a corner. He failed to stop and report the accident, and he carried on driving. Now, he said he was just drinking vodka. I don't understand people who get this drunk, because you would think a crash into a fence would sober you up. Mm-hmm. You would think a crash into a fence would make you realize, man, I've had one too many. But no, Gary kept driving. And then as he was approaching a roundabout, he crashed into a central reservation, which caused his airbags to be deployed. Now, at this point, I definitely don't think driving would be possible, but Gary kept going. Right? He turned around on the highway and stuck his head out of the driver's window in order to see over the airbags. He was said to be driving slowly, but he veered onto the wrong side of the road on which he was traveling for 3/4 of a mile. At one point, Gary drove head on directly towards an ambulance, which had his blue lights and sirens on. Imagine that. This ambulance on the way to help somebody in need, maybe even had somebody in there already, and Gary could have hit them head on and killed everyone in the ambulance. Okay, one of the officers said it's nothing short of a miracle that there wasn't an extremely serious incident leading to serious injury or death. Now, when police finally caught up with Gary's stupid ass, his blood test was taken, which revealed he had 249 mg of alcohol and 100 mg of blood. I have no idea what that means. I just know the legal limit is 80, and he was 3 times over the limit. Now, Gary did say he was remorseful, and his lawyer said he had hit rock bottom at the time of the offense, and he recognizes there was a problem, and he has been in contact with Alcoholics Anonymous to help rebuild his life. Good for you, Gary. That's what we want to happen. But that doesn't mean you will not be held responsible for the consequences of your actions. This man has clearly watched one too many Fast and Furious movies. All right, this man thought he was Dominic Toretto. How many times has Vin Diesel's car exploded and he kept driving it? All right, I don't know how many other ways to tell y'all not to drink and drive? I thought this was something that collectively we all decided was a terrible idea years ago. If you want to drink, stay your ass home, okay? If you want to drink, do it at a friend's house where you don't got to leave. If you want to drink, factor your Uber or Lyft into what you plan to spend that night on drinks, because there is no reason to be drinking and driving. No reason at all. There's not one single solitary reason on this third rock from the sun for you to be drinking and driving. Do I have to tell you that each drink you drive impairs your ability to drink? Wait, what the hell did I just say? Each drink you have impairs your ability to drive, okay?
There you go.
That's right. If you are drunk, don't drive, all right? Don't even putt. That was a golf reference. Maybe if we make it rhyme, people will listen. Let me try. Allow life to thrive. Don't drink and drive. Look, man, the moral of the story is drinking and driving. There are stupider things to do, but it's a very short list. Please give Gary Hillman the biggest hee-haw. I don't even know any other ways to tell people not to drink and drive no more.
I mean, we say it all the time.
It's unbelievable at this point. It's like, you know how much money was spent on don't drink and drive campaigns?
Yeah.
Like, come on. There's nothing I can say. Nothing that I can say that somebody shouldn't know already about drinking and driving.
And like you said, if you're going to go out and drink and drive, maybe just put the Uber or whatever.
That's right.
Taxi cab or however you need to get home. Put that in your budget for
come
the night.
Come on, man. And just think about it. Each drink you drive impairs your ability to drink.
Your lift, whatever you need to.
I mean, each drink. You know what I'm trying to say here?
You drunk now?
What am I trying to say?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Each drink you have impairs your ability to drive.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, that is your donkey of the day. Shout out to BET. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody else, let's open up the phone line. 800-585-1051. We were talking about Sexy Red. Now, there was a clip of Sexy Red. They say performing in front of a school-age children. It was a high school that hit the internet.
I didn't see her perform. I thought she just showed up.
That's what the report said. But she said, I actually didn't perform. It was prom week, and I went up there to give the girls bundles and the boys money for haircuts because I remember when I needed help with my prom stuff.
That's right. Drop on the clues, Moms, with Sexy Red. All of y'all out there talking about the school shouldn't have picked Sexy Red. I think Sexy Red picked the school.
So people were upset. They said, you know, they shouldn't have picked Sexy Red. They said, if you don't know who Sexy Red, can you play a snippet of her record so people know what it is?
She the one who said your booty hole brown.
Well, she says vagina pink and booty hole brown. Here it goes, just so you can hear, so you know what it is. Okay.
You got a blank, you got a bleep booty hole?
I guess they do.
You can't say booty hole?
So if they blank it, why you keep saying it?
I didn't know you couldn't say booty hole.
All right, stop saying it. All right, so people, you know, people are upset. People saying that, you know, the principal shouldn't have hired her, that, you know, taking teenagers to Pound Town is not right. The administration that allowed this to happen needs to be ashamed and fired because this is just ridiculous.
I don't think anything was wrong with her going to provide haircuts and bundles for them kids.
All right, so we're asking 800-585-1051. What are your thoughts on
y'all
this?
Worried about the wrong things, man. She did not. If she didn't perform for them kids,
no,
it shouldn't be an issue.
But let's talk.
If she
about
came
it.
To that school and you know she's garnered enough money from telling people that their booty holes brown that she can buy bundles and haircuts for them kids, I have no problem with it whatsoever.
But let's talk about it when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning,
the Breakfast Club. It's topic time. Pick up the phone, baby. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Sexy Red. Now, Sexy Red, of course, she performs the My Vagina Pink, My Booty Hole Brown, that record. All right? So, recently, she went to a school, and she went to basically... People thought she was there to perform. But she cleared that up. She said, I actually didn't perform. It was prom week. I went up there to give the girls bundles and boys money for haircuts because I remember when I needed help with my prom stuff. It was trending. People were kind of upset. You know, they left comments like the principal should be fired, taking teenagers to Pound Town. No way. The administration that allowed this to happen needs to be shamed and fired because this is beyond ridiculous. In a host of the did your high schools have performers? Come that kids listen to common sense would be that she didn't perform anything vulgar for the children. People are saying, well, why is she going to high school instead of colleges? That's what they're saying.
So the administration that allowed someone to come into the school and provide resources for the students should be fired. That makes zero sense to me. She didn't perform. You know what I mean? If she had performed that song, that might be inappropriate for kids, even though these kids are listening to it on their screaming services every day. But if she had came in and performed, that'd be different. Now, I did see a video where she walked in and flipped off everybody.
Yeah, she gave everybody a middle finger.
That was inappropriate.
And then,
you know what I mean, for that crowd.
And then she did the, I guess, the booty hole brown, the booty hole sign? Or was that a gang sign?
That's the capital sign.
I thought it was booty hole sign.
I have no idea.
But anyway, so people are mad at it. Look, she's an artist. And as a kid, when artists used to go to my high school, yes, of course they're going to play. They say vulgar stuff in their records. But she wasn't performing. She was actually giving back. And even if she did perform, I understand parents might not like it. But these are high school students. They listen to it all day long.
I wouldn't want her to perform. If she performed, that is on the administration. Because, you know, usually these songs come with parental advisory stickers.
Correct.
Right? So it's up to the parents to determine whether or not, you know, these kids should be listening to this music. So if you did bring in an artist like that who had those type of explicit lyrics, there should have been some type of form that went out that said, hey, we're going to have a performance from Sexy Red. Do you want your child to be a part of this performance? But she did not perform.
No, she didn't perform.
So to your point, yes, rappers make explicit music. That's what rappers do. Male, female, it doesn't matter. They've made explicit music historically throughout the years. That should not take away from any good deeds that they do. This young lady decided to do a good deed at this school.
Yeah, she
provided
did.
Haircuts and she provided bundles.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. She didn't perform. And let's not get it twisted. Like, you look at all these concerts and festivals, Rolling Loud and all that. You got to be 16 and over. So these kids are hearing the music. But to have them perform, you're right. If they got, you know, parental approval, then that's not a problem.
But she didn't perform. All
she didn't perform.
All she did was do a good deed. So I don't have a problem with this young lady doing a good deed.
Hello, who's this?
Emerson.
What's your name?
Emerson.
Hey, what's up, bro? What's your thoughts?
I don't think she should have went up there. All due respect to her, but we didn't flaunt. Even though we listened to that type of music in high school, we didn't flaunt it.
That's a damn
I don't
lie.
Know about that. I mean, all of the school parties, we danced to it. I mean, there wasn't a problem.
Yeah, but at the school gymnasium, no, we didn't bring it out like that.
Oh, no, you're right, but she didn't perform, though.
She didn't perform.
Oh, she didn't. Okay. No. Well, she went there to do a good deed, then all respect to her, but performing that would have been a different story.
Oh, no, I agree. If she performed, like we grew up off Uncle Luke. I loved Uncle Luke back in the day. They wasn't bringing no Uncle Luke to perform for no high school, though. You know what I'm saying? So that I can understand if she would perform, people being upset. But her just doing a good deed, no, I'm not mad at that.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up? It's Sean from VA.
Sean from VA. 757-804.
757, baby. You know what it is.
Hampton Roads area, bro. Talk to us. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm not really feeling that, man. I mean, if she went and actually did the performance, I don't think that would have been a good look. If she just went to drop some money off and show her face, that was cool. But if they said she performed, that's crazy.
She
and
didn't
I can
perform.
Only imagine.
I'm talking about my brother. She did not perform.
No, she didn't perform.
Okay. If she didn't perform, that's different. But that's the problem I think most people thinking is what happened. Because imagine Uncle Luke coming in our era with Two Live Crew to perform at our high school.
That would be crazy.
Let me tell you something. Me and Breakfast Club listeners are usually on the same wavelength. I just said the same
exact
thing.
Yeah, you just
said it. I love our listeners because they got common sense for the most part.
But it's also not her fault if she walks in the building and the DJ plays her record. Like, that's what happened.
They had a DJ?
Yeah, they played her music when she walked in.
They shouldn't have no DJ.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, she probably had to get on the mic and explain what she was doing.
Man, TJ probably was so confused. Did she say, what is pink and what is brown? What?
Hello, who's this?
Man, it's Exclusive. What up?
What's up, bro? Talk to us. What's your thoughts on Sexy Red?
Man, I kind of like Uncle Charlotte say. They should have got the full context of everything before they made a judgment on it. Because I think it was a great thing that she did just because she made a song. Hey, man, I would have been great if Uncle Luke would have did it back in the day when I was in school.
Jesus Christ. That's the third Uncle Luke reference this morning.
Uncle Luke, by the way, Uncle Luke was way more explicit than Sexy Red.
Absolutely.
I don't care what y'all say. Because, by the way, Uncle Luke was telling us what the color of feces was. All right?
Doodoo Brown.
Doodoo Brown. You know
stupid.
What I'm saying?
You're stupid.
And by the way, what about, you know, you know what's so bad about that song?
What?
What about everybody whose vaginas aren't pink? You know, because the labia can have a purplish color sometimes. It can have a reddish or brown color. You know?
So you're saying she's actually giving us medical research about...
I'm saying that she's excluding some people.
No, but she's saying her vagina's pink and her booty hole's brown.
Oh, she said her personally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't...
Pink, my booty hole.
Oh, you're right. She's talking about herself. You're right. It don't matter. She did a good deed. Okay? And by the way, it takes a person from a certain community to know that these girls need bundles. I ain't never heard nobody. By the way, I ain't never heard nobody buy a bunch of girls a pack of bundles. Drop one of Clues Bombs to Sexy Red for really caring about our people.
800.
Right, we hear about haircuts all the time. I provide haircuts every summer back home in Mount Corner, South Carolina when I do my book bag drive. Now you got me thinking I got to step my game up and provide some bundles, Sexy Red.
You know what? Because during the car show, I give free haircuts. Monster, you know, yes. Free haircuts. So now...
I'm doing bundles this year because of you, Sexy Red. Because we already do the... I do my book bag
bundles
drive.
Bundles be expensive, though.
By the way, I'm doing it August 12th. Mount Corner, South Carolina, Berkeley High School. I'll be doing it again this year, my book bag giveaway. I'm going to give out bundles.
800-585-1051. We're talking Sexy Red. People are mad at her. People are mad at the school because she went to the school. They thought she was performing. She didn't perform, but she went there to give boys haircuts and girls bundles. We'll talk about it more when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating Walbrook, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club on this Monday. We're talking about Sexy Red. She was trending over the weekend because there's a clip of her going to a school. They said she was performing. She wasn't performing. But she went to the school, they played her record, and people are mad saying that she shouldn't have been at the school. They said that the principal should be fired. They said that she shouldn't be taking teenagers to Pound Town. Well, she responded. She said, I actually didn't perform. It was prom week, and I went up there to give the girls bundles and boys money for haircuts because I remember when I needed help with my prom stuff.
Hey, Sexy Red, I don't know you. You did a good deed. F what these people are talking about.
Right, so we're just going to the phone lines. I agree. Hello, who's this?
This is Jason.
Jason, what's up? Talk to us.
Man, I want to comment on this, man. This is an artist trying to promote her craft, man. And so she going to do what she do to promote her craft. But if she never performed at that school and she did something positive, why is they focusing on the small stuff that you see all these artists do when they do stuff like this?
Because you know we live in an era where everybody got to focus on the negative. Nobody ever wants to focus on the positive. We always got to find a way to tear somebody down. Because of Sexy Red, mad little boys got haircuts and mad little girls got bundles.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this Kid Swagger from Jackson, Mississippi. I'm the line on my beat on my birthday. Hey, Charlamagne God, DJ Envy. Who our special guest is today?
Nobody today.
But happy birthday, brother.
Hey, you said brother.
Yeah, I don't know why he called you a brother. I can clearly hear the day in your voice.
Charlamagne.
Yes,
tell him again. Yes, tell him again. Tell him, NCC. There go DJ Envy. I'm just waking up, man. Like I told you, it's a cancer year. Cancer day. Cancer. It's my birthday. I got through to the Breakfast Club.
Gang. Happy birthday, sister.
Appreciate it. Now you got it right. Okay. What's going on, though, y'all?
What's your thoughts
on Sexy Red? Was she right or wrong?
Hey, well, let me tell you something like this, y'all. We can't really never say when a celebrity is really wrong when they show up and pull up. Because let me tell you something. When celebrity get an opportunity and then just to come out into, you know, out and people, your fans, get a chance to see you, even if they're not a fan. Just because who you are and you having that platform.
That
means a lot.
Yeah, I think you just joined us and you don't know what we're talking about. But we appreciate the phone call.
Did you really know that was a girl?
Yes, I knew that was a woman.
How'd you know that?
I could hear it, man.
I couldn't hear it.
Because you don't want to hear it.
I did want to hear it.
Pound Town. Just left Pound Town.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up? It's B-Mom from the Metro. What's good, man?
803, what's happening?
Talk to us. What's your thoughts, bro?
Now, look, I agree with what Sexy Red is doing. She obviously said, y'all do know I went there to get a boy's haircuts and give the girls bundles for their proms because I remember when I ain't had nothing.
Correct.
So I love the way that she handled herself with class. She didn't go on an Instagram Live and go crazy or nothing like that. So, nah, Sexy Red is absolutely right. And another point that I will actually say about Sexy Red, too, is that she shouts out the men on Pound Town, like, my meow or whatever. Like, she actually respects masculine energy and stuff like that. And the way she approaches herself. And that's why I think people love her so much.
Okay.
I'm not mad at it, man. She did a good deed. She didn't. If she would have performed at the school, I can understand people, you know, maybe having some complaints, but all she did was a good deed.
All right, what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is, man, 100% Remy human hair bundles cost between $40 and $150. Salute Sexy Red. I don't even know how many she bought, but I know that was a nice little pretty penny if she had to buy it for a whole school.
Mm-hmm.
So salute to that woman, man, for making, you know, easing the burden of somebody having to pay for some bundles, man. Salute to her.
All right, now, when we come back, we got your rumor report. We got to discuss DDG. He's speaking his feelings and people are making fun of him. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
You know, it's a lot of cancers up here. You know, I'm a cancer. 629 is my day. 629 is red day. But I got Eli. Eli works here behind the scenes at The Breakfast Club. He's a cancer. Happy born day, my guy, Eli.
Go to the mic right Eli. There, Eli.
Eli, tell them what your Instagram is, Eli.
Is Mike's on?
What's your Instagram, Eli?
My IG's OVO Eli.
Yeah, OVO Eli. Because you love Drizzy Drake.
Yeah, he loves Drizzy Drake.
Love Aubrey.
But today's his birthday. He runs the camera. He does production up here as well. He does a lot up here. So we just want to say salute you and happy birthday, brother.
Thank you so much.
Didn't they say isn't Drake... Wasn't he supposed to perform?
Yeah, today he's actually touching down in New York. It's all a blur tour this
week.
No,
they just said that because of striking that the show is actually canceled for tonight.
Striking?
They're striking. The Barclays. The Barclays.
And the SAG strike.
Barclays is striking. You want to see?
Yeah. And Drake's an actor, so he really shouldn't be doing anything.
What's the matter? What's wrong? Look,
I know you ain't about to cry.
Drake fans may go thirsty if Barclays Center concession workers are voting to strike. See that? 2 hours ago.
No way.
Yeah.
Damn. You had another plans for your birthday? That was it?
That was it.
You had tickets?
No.
Oh, he didn't even have no tickets. Why are you upset? You didn't even have tickets.
They're working on it. We'll see.
They're working on it.
Who's working on it?
Oh, promo.
Oh, promo
oh people appear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, damn well Drake ain't giving up this promo team no tickets. Please, stop.
All right, well, happy birthday, bro. We just want to say happy birthday, and we appreciate you, bro. Thank now get back on so that camera.
Yes, sir. All right. Yo, shout out Drake, OVO.
You don't even know him. Next week. You ever met him?
No, not yet.
What you mean, see him next week?
Where you going to see him next week?
Oh, you want to go somewhere else to see the show?
Next week, and this week he's at Barclays, so he's going to be in New York 2 weeks.
So you're going to stalk him?
No, not really. I mean...
All right, well, listen to the truth, man. On behalf of the Breakfast Club and the Drake will be performing tonight. Drake is performing tonight. We just joking. We just messing with you, and we got you a pair of tickets to go see Drake tonight. Yes.
Yes, way.
Yes, way.
Yes, way.
We know you're a huge Drake fan. I mean, like you said, your Instagram is OVO. We got you two tickets on behalf of the Breakfast Club.
What are the tickets at?
And we everybody in the staff up here, we appreciate you.
Let me see the tickets. Let me make sure they're good seats first.
Now, we emailed them, too.
Oh, you emailed them?
We emailed
them. Check your email. Make sure you got them.
Yeah, so we got them. So happy birthday. Eddie's sending it right now.
Bro,
so
stop smiling.
He's happy.
I got my lockers in right now.
He's about to cry.
He said he got his lines right now. That's why you can't stop smiling.
Yo, but we appreciate you and enjoy your birthday with Drake tonight, man. They're going to have a lot of fun. We were just joking. Drake's concert is going down tonight at the Barclays, so get there early. And congratulations, OVO, Eli.
Yeah, one love. Love
you. You did not accept. Why you acting like you were just accepting an award?
One love. Love y'all, yo.
OVO. OVO. Yo, first, I want to thank Drake. Then I want to thank my man Chubbs. Then I want to thank.
Yes, sir. Shout out to OVO.
Man, get out of here, man. You got an owl on your ass cheeks or something. Get out of here, man.
Well, happy birthday, man. We appreciate what you do, brother. All right. Well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Birkins.
Rumor has it.
Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is the Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on the Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Yes. On the Breakfast Club.
Now we got to send a rest in peace to Jane Birkin. All right, she's an actress and singer who inspired the Hermes Birkin bag that you see all these women and now guys rocking. Now these bags are about $8,000 they can go up to $100,000 a bag. You just can't walk in and buy a Hermes Birkin. You actually have to start a relationship. Now rumor has it that she was on a flight with the owner of Hermes way in the 80s. And I guess she was having too much stuff in her bag that she carried. And she was just like, this is a hassle. All these bags are too small. I can't put things in my bag. And the owner of Hermes at the time was on a flight where it was like, I'm going to make something for you. And they created the Birkin bag in her name. But
how did the young lady pass?
She passed away. She was 76 years old.
Oh, okay.
She was 76 That's years young. Old. Yeah. They said that 2 years ago, she suffered a couple of strokes. So I guess they're saying she had a handful of health concerns. So she passed away, so definitely rest in peace. And that's the reason why you women out there have Birkins.
Oh, God bless her. She was an actress and singer, though, so it wasn't like just some random woman.
It just wasn't random on the plane. Yeah. She was an actress.
Some random
singer,
woman on the plane. They decided to take her last name.
Yep.
She was a British actor and singer.
Yeah, I wonder how much she got off of that Birkin. You know what I mean? Like, does she get a percentage because they named it after her? Wonder.
I'm sure.
All right. Now, Hailey Bailey's ex-boyfriend, DDG, people are saying that he's soft and that he's too sensitive because he talks about him being insecure about dating Hailey Bailey. Right, so people have been calling him a simp and soft and a sucker and all these other things, but he's just speaking what he's been going through.
I said this last week when we were discussing Keke Palmer, baby daddy. Why can't men express their feelings? Why can't that man express his insecurities? We have all these conversations about, you know, how men don't express their feelings, and, you know, we want men to go do the work on themselves by going to therapy so they can properly learn how to communicate their feelings. But then when a person does it, they get slandered for it. It's gonna come a point, man, you're gonna keep pushing men away. You're gonna keep pushing men to not express themselves. It's already been that way for years, but now you've gotten us to be able to express ourselves just a little bit, and now you're telling these men to shut up every time they do.
Yeah, which I think is whack. And I think having two young boys, Logan's 19 years old, but another young boy, you tell them to express their feelings, right? Because you don't want them to bottle that in. You don't want them to keep that to themselves and then one day explode and not know what to happen.
And so end up beating up daddy. Because you know that's where Logan headed. Logan's already bigger than his pops. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's already really the man of the house. So it's only a matter of time. You know, if you don't let Logan express his feelings, he's going to body slam you. That's what you was getting at, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was just... Shut up, man. And that is your rumor report. See, I try to be yours. See, I try to be sensitive and all up and forward with you, but Logan's gonna beat you up. Logan's gonna body slam you. Logan's gonna throw you out the house. Logan's, shut up.
Yeah, I didn't say throw him out the house, but yeah, I can see him doing that too.
Oh, my goodness.
I can see him tossing you.
Oh, my goodness.
And I also want to say, since we're talking about it, man, July 27th, actually the weekend of July 26th to the 28th, in my birthplace of Charleston, South Carolina, they have the Low Country Mental Health Conference. Mm-hmm. And I will be welcoming everybody to the Low Country Mental Health Conference on July 26th to the 28th. And you can go register right now at lowcountrymhconference.com. That's lowcountrymhconference.com. I didn't even know that South Carolina and Charleston was doing the Low Country Mental Health Conference. I was having a conversation with Mayor Tecklenburg a couple of weeks ago when I was home, and he just randomly mentioned it. And I'm like, how long y'all been doing this? And it's been going on for a long time.
And you sure that's the date, right?
Yes, it's a weekend. It's July 26th.
July 26th is Wednesday. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. July 26th to the 28th. I'll be there at July 27th at 8:30 a.m. That's when I'll be there.
Okay.
Yes, but it starts July 26th. But you can go register at lowcountrymhconference.com. It's the Low Country Mental Health Conference in Charleston, South Carolina.
All right. And then that weekend, of course, is my car show in Atlanta. That's the 29th. That's Saturday. And you know, we're bringing cars from, we're going to have Young Dolph's whole fleet, Boosie Badass 50, Uptown Car Club, Sisters with Jeep. So many different car clubs are going to be joining us. Kids 5 and under are free. So if you haven't got your tickets, that's July 29th in Atlanta. All right. Get your tickets. And if you want to put your car in the show, you could just email me, djmvcarshow@gmail.com. All right. Let's get to the mix. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum large size condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor, and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum, large size condoms.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. I just want to salute to all the HBCUs out there. I know a lot of kids are planning to go back to school in the next couple of weeks, colleges. I know with September 16th, we're doing an HBCU Classic in New York. It's Morehouse versus Albany State. It's going to be a week of events. So it's going to be step shows, bands, day parties, night parties. They're tailgating out there. So we're just inviting all the colleges, all the fraternities, sororities. If you went to a HBCU or thinking about going to a HBCU, we want you to come down and really definitely check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to make some of the alumni feel like they're back on the yard. It's just going to be a great day for HBCU in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Carolina area, DC, Virginia. We want everybody to come on up, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're just trying to create these experiences more and more and more for HBCU alumni, HBCU students, and people thinking about going to HBCU. So just Google it, and it comes right up. It's at MetLife Stadium again. It's Morehouse versus Albany State. All right, and that's September 16th. Now, when we come back, we got the positive notice, The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now it's time to get up out of here. Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do have a positive note, man. And it comes from my good brother, Elliot Connie. Elliot Connie is a great psychotherapist. He's actually who I talk to when I need to talk to somebody. But my man Elliot says, don't worry about proving doubters wrong. F them. Spend your energy proving your supporters right.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.